Welcome everyone to the Sunday Show. We started this last weekend and I can't believe how many of you actually like watching our shows. That's to my surprise. Now, of course, we have a lot of YouTube followers and a lot of people who follow us on the website. And I just wanted to take a second and say thank you all. Thank you and God bless you for following us. We have a lot to cover in this video. You will not want to miss the end of this. Emily and myself are going to do a special report on something that we have a lot of passion for exposing. And so I want to make sure to mention that if you only have a few minutes, just come back and watch it when you can. You won't want to miss this. Now, we've talked about this sort of happening with geopolitics before. We've talked about a sort of an EU superstate. If you guys recall, I want you to think back to last year. There was a document which was obtained by one of the news organizations. I can't remember exactly who it was, but we've got it on the website if you want to go look. They obtained it. It was a signed document by Germany and France. And Germany and France were going to create the European superstate. They were going to kill off the EU, the European Union. They were going to use part of the Brexit, that sort of crisis, to do so. And as the European Union was crumbling, they were going to build this European superstate. And this European superstate was going to have its own currency, which means that all the little countries within the EU now, they were going to have to give up their own currencies. They were not going to have their own state armies or state militias. They were going to have one army under this massive European superstate. That would effectively create another world superpower. Now, at the time, it wasn't exactly clear as to why this was all taking shape. But now that we know we have a populist government in the U.S., we have the Brexit that's taken place, we have Russia, we have China, we have India, we have all these big countries, these almost superpowers, because we know the U.S., China, and Russia are all a superpower, and we know that there's other massive emerging superpowers that are coming out now. We know the type of world we're living in. It's called the multipolar world order. And this agenda wasn't exactly as prevalent as it is now. But here's this. This adds to that evidence, let's put it that way, that we're kind of building that this is definitely the multipolar world, and of course that the European superstate is going to be constructed within, who knows, a year, a couple of years, who knows. Now, Brussels is set to slap another Brexit bill on the UK with demands of $100 billion for an EU army. Now, wait a minute. The EU, to my best knowledge, doesn't have a massive army. Now, of course, they have some form of a European Defense Agency, or the EDA, and of course they have the Common Foreign and Security Policy, but an actual army, and even the Express article has this in quotes, sort of, like, what the hell is this? This is kind of strange here. And Brussels will attempt to force the UK taxpayer to contribute to the fund, which includes winding up failing operations in Africa, despite Britain preparing to leave the bloc. A text adopted by Strasbourg last week set out the constitutional, legal, and institutional implications of its common security and defense policy, in which Brussels defense mandarins claim EU citizens expect more EU action in defense and security. The text reveals jaw-dropping aspects of the bloc's defense, outlining a plethora, okay, not just a little bit, of acronyms, which take into account its EU global strategy. It sets out that the EU needs more money for its military strategy and states. It is essential to increase national defense expenditure to 2% of EU GDP. Now, wait a minute. Are we witnessing the EU build its own massive super army? I'm not talking about super in any sort of the supernatural tense. We're talking about a super-sized army, like the U.S. has, or like China has, or like Russia has, or any of that nature. The report adds, this would mean extra expenditure of nearly €100 billion on defense, or euros, by the end of the coming decade, and considers that this boost should be used to launch more strategic cooperative programs within and through the Union. Now, hang on here. This could be a big reason as to why this just took place about the Brexit. But according to the Raw story, and of course this is the liberal Raw story, don't get me wrong, this is the liberal agency, Trump handed German Chancellor Merkel an invoice for billions owed to the U.S. for NATO. And then just a couple days later, actually today, this came out yesterday, on Saturday, about the new EU Super Army or EU Army. This came out on the 26th, so this actually came out after the fact. But of course they would have known before it. But now we have an invoice for billions owed to the U.S. for NATO. Oh, really? That's good news. You mean to tell me that we're actually going to see some money from Germany? When President Donald Trump met with German Chancellor Angela Merkel last weekend, he had a present for her in the form of an invoice demanding hundreds of billions in money he feels is owed to NATO by Germany. According to the Sunday Times, German officials admitted that Chancellor received the invoice handed to her by Trump and called it outrageous. The concept behind putting out such demands is to intimidate the other side, but the Chancellor took it calmly and will not respond to such provocations, a German minister stated. Following Trump's tense meeting with Merkel, where the president refused to shake hands with her, Trump complained on Twitter that Germany was not paying its fair share of NATO expenses, leaving the U.S. to make up the difference. Despite what you have heard from the fake news, I had a great meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Nevertheless, Germany owes vast sums of money to NATO and the U.S., and it must be paid more for the powerful and very expensive defense it provides to Germany. He's got a point. I mean, he's got a point. It's like, How do people not see the point? The question is, can it be backed up? And of course, it can be. It has been. Over time, over time it has been backed up. These claims that other countries aren't paying their dues. But we are. We keep having to shovel out more money for foreign countries so we can build up these other governments while ours crumbles. And finally, we supposedly have this guy in the White House who's going to do something about that. And you know what? If he just handed an actual invoice to Germany for $300 billion, good on him. Good on him. You guys know that I'm neutral on Trump. But this? Hell yeah. According to the Times, the president submitted the invoice requesting over $300 billion in reparations based on the Trump administration's demand that Germany contribute 2% of their GDP dating back to 2012 plus interest. Now hang on, there's a couple numbers in here that I wanted to show you. 2% of their GDP, but if we go back to the Brussels Brexit bill, it's also 2%, as we just read earlier. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, another article that's on the Express, and I think this is the one that I was mentioning to you earlier. This was posted on November 22nd, 2016. The dawn of the EU army. MEPs approve new $420 million a year super force to defend Europe. The European army, EU army, will be up and running in less than a year. So that's the timeline. So by November-ish 2017, we could actually be seeing a European super army or a European army. An actual European army, not just some defense force. And of course, the 2%, that's really interesting. We've seen that just a few minutes ago in this Express article. Isn't that quite interesting? Now, if we keep going forward, we have a lot of news. Again, breaking news. This is not necessarily breaking news anymore, but it is today. Like, so today this was considered breaking news. Syria has threatened to fire Scud missiles at Israel. The crisis is still ongoing. Don't forget that. Sources are indicating that the Syrian leadership has sent messages to Israel warning that any further strikes on targets within Syria's borders will be returned with Scud rockets fired deep into the Jewish state. Here's an excerpt from the Times of Israel. The report warned that Syria has over 800 Scud missiles and that Syria would not issue any warnings before the missile strikes because Israel does not warn before it hits. On Wednesday, Israeli jets were reported to have carried out airstrikes near the Syrian capital of Damascus, hours after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to continue hitting weapons convoys and rebuffed claims Russia had ordered the strikes halted. All of this war, all of this conflict, all of these rumors of war, it's a time period. It's very evident that we are in the wars of rumors of wars. Now, God says in the Bible that the end is not yet. There shall be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. Is that not what it says? I have come to the understanding, and don't, I'm not trying to make any predictions or anything, I believe we are in these wars and rumors of wars, especially with the multipolar world order. If we really look at their agenda, they're going to destroy the old world order, depending on how long they want to keep this multipolar anxious mess going for a while. And there's a lot of anxiety going around. If you guys haven't noticed, a lot of people are unnerved, that's the right word, unnerved about what is going on in other countries. And the division between so many people is so stark that no compromise can be had. And that was evident when Trump tried to get a couple bills through. They were a massive part of his agenda, but he couldn't get them passed because the division is so great. The division is within our country. The division is within our own families. The division is with our own neighbors and friends. The division extends all the way out to other nations. Now, this may have something to do with the division because the time period we are living in, these are the end times. Should a human pig chimera? For those of you who don't know what a chimera is, it is basically a mutation. It is basically a mix. You know what? Let me read you the actual definitions. The first thing that comes up is the Greek mythology, which, of course, is a fire-breathing female monster with a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail. Any mythical animal with parts taken from various animals. Now, if we go to what the biology or the biological meaning of this, an organism containing a mixture of genetically different tissues formed by processes such as fusion of early embryos, grafting, or mutation. I gave you the keywords of what it meant, but that's the full definition of it. Anyways, so we have this first meaning of what it is in Greek mythology, and it's this mixture of animals that just would create such a monster. A monster, literally, right? Okay, well, you have this article on Quartz, which was just published, I think it was a couple days ago, on the 24th of March. Should we treat a chimera, a monster, a mutated being, walking the earth, as a human being? Now, wait a minute. Hold on. They were saying that all they were going to use with this creation or creature, I don't even know what to call it, this chimera, that they were only going to be using this thing for organ harvesting because of the organ shortage. But now we're hearing articles and seeing articles that should this thing be treated as a human being, as a person. But wait a minute. I don't think this thing could talk or have a brain. I thought literally they were just going to keep this thing for organs. You see, they've subverted a lot of people into thinking, oh my gosh, this organ shortage. And I know it's bad. I'm not trying to say it isn't. This organ shortage, we've got to come up with something. You know what? Let's mix two creatures together. Let's mix animals. Let's mix a human and an animal. Finally, they've arrived at this point. And now we're about to see. Well, this is why you don't eat pig or pork, okay? The closest thing to human flesh is pig or pork, right? They're going to mix those two because they're so close together. Literally, they just like attacked all of us and called us equivalent to pigs, like we could just mix with other pigs genetically. I mean, that's offensive. But obviously, sticks and stones, right? Okay, so then we have this other meaning behind it all, that they're going to create creatures. Now, of course, they're saying it's for medical purposes. But now they want to treat the thing as if it's a person. Ah, so is this what the trans movement was about? There is a well-documented organ shortage throughout the world. For example, 3,000 kidney transplants were made last year in the UK, but that still left 5,000 people on the waiting list. Scientists in the U.S. are creating so-called human-pig chimeras, which will be capable of growing the much-needed organs. These chimeras are animals that combine human and pig characteristics. Whoa. Now hold on just a minute here. Those words are much different than what the original language that they were saying it was going to be. They originally said it was going to be just organs. Now they're saying characteristics. So can this thing talk? Can this thing think? What else can this thing do? What's it going to look like? What kind of hellish monster or chimera have they created? These chimeras are animals that combine human and pig characteristics. They are like mules that will provide organs that can be transplanted into humans. A mule is the offspring of a male donkey, Jack, and a female horse, Mare. Horses and donkeys are different species with different numbers of chromosomes, but they can breed together. They just called us all pigs! Last time I checked, I'm not a frickin' pig. You see, this is where evolution brings us all to. This is why you cannot have this ideology of evolution. Because it teaches that human beings are less than pigs. And by the time people figure that out, they'll be in stalls, being culled. In this case, the scientists take a skin cell from a human and from this make stem cells capable of producing any cell or tissue in the body, known as induced pluripotent stem cells. They can inject these into a pig embryo to make a human pig chimera. This is disgusting. In order to create the desired organ, they use gene editing or CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R. We've talked about CRISPR a lot. Go to the website, christiantruther.com, if you don't know what it is. You need to know to knock out the embryo's pig's genes that produce, for example, the pancreas. The human stem cells for the pancreas then make an almost entirely human pancreas in the resulting human pig chimera, with just the blood vessels remaining porcine. I mean, this sounds like a mess, but at the same time, you have the UK bringing about designer babies or the baby farms. We just covered this last week. So literally, we have the US creating the chimeras, and then you have the UK creating baby farms. We've reached a point, ladies and gentlemen, where they cross this line, we are not coming back. And I can say that because if they mess with the germline and the DNA, once they alter it, there isn't really a chance to go backwards. The mutation's there. You see how this is really bad? It's disgusting. But the creatures and the Nephilim, they will walk the earth again. Now, before we get into the special report, no, that was not the special report. There's an even bigger one we've got to go through. And I just cannot believe the times that we're living in. The times we are living in, they're so epic. They're so crazy. They're so fearful. Yet they're so awesome. We can see the power of God moving in people like never before. And I want to explain something to you. I want to read this little short story real quick. New movie about a homosexual activist who turned into a pastor. You see, we have all this trans agenda and we have all this LGBT crap movement, right? Okay. Well, as I've said before, I've seen individuals who have been totally homosexual. But then, you know what? Nothing is a match for the power of God. And there comes God in. And of course, they're no longer gay. They're no longer homosexual. They're straight. Their lives have been cleaned and cleansed. And they've repented. And they've turned to God. They left the wickedness behind them. Just as the Bible tells us all to do. Now, of course, there are those who are actively attacking the church. And we must fight back against that. Don't get me wrong. But anyways, let me read this little bit here. This is a new movie that's coming out, and it's called I Am Michael. And it was recently released in theaters. It details the powerful story of Michael Gletz, who was an outspoken homosexual activist. However, in 2007, he gave up that life to receive Jesus and eventually become a pastor. Michael said that he had been questioning his lifestyle in 2005. He had doubts and concerns about the life he was living. Health problems caused him to think about God even more. He tried other religions, but eventually realized Christianity was his only way out of his bondage. This movie is a reminder that there is hope for those trapped by homosexuality and other destructive lifestyles. This confusion that we've got floating around today, that's manifest in the trans movement, there's an answer for that. God is not the author of confusion. He did not make you confused. Man did. And of course, the devil did too. Seek the truth. Seek ye the truth. Let's drop off this confusion. And let's actually awaken people to the actual, real grace and power of God. Let's get into that special report.
Oklahoma House approves bill that would return 10 commandments to state capital. The Oklahoma House of Representatives has advanced a bill that would allow the display of the 10 commandments on public grounds and thus return the Decalogue display to the Capitol following its removal in 2015. HB 2177, introduced in January by Representative John Bennett R. Salisaw, passed 79-11 on Tuesday and now moves to the Senate for consideration. As previously reported, the measure recognizes the impact of certain documents on American history. Every county, municipality, city, town, school, or any other political subdivision is authorized to display in its public buildings and on its grounds replicas of historical documents, including but not limited to the Ten Commandments, Magna Carta, Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, United States Constitution, Bill of Rights, Oklahoma Constitution, and other historically significant documents in the form of statues, monuments, memorials, tablets, or any other display that respects the dignity and solemnity of such documents. It reads in part, other religions, such as Islam or Satanism, would not be included because they did not play a role in the founding of the nation. The bill only applies to the display of historical documents influential in the founding of the state or country. That's really good news because now the Satanists cannot put up their Baphomet statues and fight to take down the Ten Commandments, at least in Oklahoma, if this bill gets passed.
Exactly. See, the problem with the situation that was going on in Oklahoma is this has a lot of history to it, recent history. If you just go back a couple months ago, there was recently a war, a literal war, of Satanism versus Christianity. In fact, they did a ritual there, and it was called the Consumption of Mary. We're going to go through it a little bit. Look, it's really gross, and it's really disgusting, but you need to understand the severity of the word Satanism, because over time, we see a lot of these words that mainstream media or that other organizations use, they lose the touch of what it actually means. And in case that happens, here it is. This is what took place at a satanic ritual in Oklahoma that was by a group who's affiliated with the Satanic Temple, who also just recently attacked Texas, saying that they want to protect the children. But when you hear some of the details of this particular ritual, my God, they are not going to protect the children.
Right, and this was run by a convicted sex offender. And the article, or parts of the article we're going to go into, are from the lady that actually took part in the ritual. She actually channeled the spirit.
Which is just, it's astonishing.
It's beyond disgusting. And
first of all, it was run by a sex offender. That says enough.
That should really say enough. But a lot of people just let that slide too. So the first quote, I think that this really goes into how severe possession can get, and especially when it's done on purpose.
And to top that off, we also are going into a lot of the Hinduism connections and through some of the exclusives and through some of the other reports that we've been producing lately. You're going to find that in this actual ritual. You're also going to find mentions of Kali and just these other deities that also have been in the news lately as well.
Yeah, they like to use the same ones time and time again. And the two rituals that were planned at that time were one from the Temple of Satan and Ahrimanism. And that is basically like the Temple of Satan, but it combines Hinduism into it. And that's why they were worshiping Kali at this event.
Now, keep in mind, just like 2 weeks ago, we had CNN's show, what was it, Faith Believer, is that what it's called?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that show with the lead guy named Raza, or whatever his name is, he was eating human brains at a Hinduism ritual. I mean, this stuff is disgusting.
And if you watch the last five, they've uploaded the last 5 minutes of this ritual, and I don't even think we should show it, just because it's so disgusting.
No.
But it looks a little similar to that.
Can you believe that?
No, because that's India. This is the United States.
I know, but hang on. So did the U.S. government sanction this? Like, did it allow it?
Yeah, they were scared to stop it.
They were scared to stop this?
Yes.
And this includes blood, like blood and all of it?
Right.
And it was run by a sex offender?
Right. And they were allowed to continue. They had a whole list of people that went against this, and they just said, we're going to let it go because otherwise we have a lawsuit on our hands.
Well, take the damn lawsuit. I mean, this is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, just in the future, you can see the moral code of people just eroding.
Unwinding. I was going to say unwinding, but yeah.
And it's sad.
It is. It's terrible. What in the world is going on?
But there were a lot of people that fought this, so.
That's the good news, but the bad news is the majority of it was Catholic, right?
Right.
Because I don't know if the Christians weren't aware, but we also know the deception and the lying that's taken over the Catholic Church. Or that goes through the Catholic Church, I should say. All right, so before she details this event to you, I want to say something. Please don't imagine this certain scenario. Just listen to it. Don't imagine it, because I don't want any sort of fall off or anything like that to come through computer cords and ley lines, as you all know that we've prayed against quite continually. And again, after we read this, we'll pray against it, because it's terrible. But on top of that, you have to realize some of the symbolism that is used in this. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the story starts that they went and picked up a statue of Kali to evoke her into
the Hinduism deity.
Right, right. And so she tells about the whole story of picking up Kali in the car on the way and how she started to feel this anger inside her just being around the idol. So
hang on, what does the Bible say about idols?
They should be torn down.
Torn down, exactly. Okay.
Here's the first quote. Everyone could tell something wasn't right, so they all left Adam and I to ourselves, and I fought letting her anger go. So Adam had to press chakra spots and told me to let her go, and it was harder to. I wanted to keep that anger and to let it grow. I wanted to start smashing the statue and set the neighbor. She's talking about Mary there. And set the neighbor's trees on fire and rip the fence out of the ground and smash the windows. I wanted to destroy it all. I know that when I came to again, it was because they said Adam told me to walk barefoot around the fire pit.
So, hang on. She blanked throughout all this. Like, she was no longer there. Okay, hang on. So, we have this unknown individual who is basically possessed.
Full-on possession that they've done weeks in advance to prepare her for this event.
So hang on, she was possessed multiple times.
All throughout the time leading up to the ritual, she had to contain the spirit of Kali within herself. So they would do these rituals and try and prepare her.
That's enough. Like, I mean, this is...
I know, but I think that people need to know this is going on, because I think a lot of people just think this is crazy.
It's not happening. You know,
it's
like
not happening.
When you hear about
exist.
The Satanic Temple doing bloodletting, stuff like that, it's just because they think it's fun. No, you have no idea the spiritual implication that comes with doing this thing.
Right.
And that's what I don't think people understand that until it actually gets put in context. This lady was fading in and out of consciousness. Like being, I'm not talking about the global consciousness. I'm talking about being aware or awake. She was fading in and out. There was something else that had taken over her entire being. And according to her, she was channeling, as we've seen many times throughout history with all of the attacks against Christianity, they channel spirits to attack the Christian faith. And this lady was channeling the spirit of Kali.
She goes on to say that Kali was pervading aspects of her life during the day and at work. And her family observed that her behaviors changed as well.
So there are witnesses to this then. It's not just like it's two people, some dumb sex offender, and then this lady. But there's other witnesses to this account.
Right. And we see a lot of like teenagers getting into these kind of practices.
And then you have mainstream media pushing like the Ouija boards. The Ouija boards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is insanity.
It is. It is. And it's scary to see that happen to people.
It is, yeah.
But we're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to go against it. We're supposed to...
Scary is the wrong word then. It would be more like shocking because it's so realistic and it puts it in such a light that you can't really deny it anymore. And then you're met at this point of what do you do now? So let's continue on in the story here. Have you ever been looking at a mirror and then see your reflection behind you in another mirror? Like at a department store as a kid, and there was a set of like four mirrors in different angles. So you can see how things you are trying to onlook. It has always been different for me. I felt like there was more behind the mirror than I saw. Well, in the Dhamma, we have incorporated using five mirrors reflecting into each other. In theory, if you have two mirrors reflecting off of each other, it creates a gateway. So there are two gateways crossing each other. Now, to a lot of people, it may seem kind of silly, the mirror word being in there, but it's well known in the occult world to use mirrors. Now, of course, the mirror in your house is not necessarily wrong. It's just like having magnets. How many magnets are in everyday things that we have? But yet magnetism is used to conjure things and conjure spirits. It's just the perversion of the use of the tool. That's where it becomes wrong. And that's what they're using. A mirror just happens to be the tool that they're using there, if you get what I'm saying by that. If I were to continue on, when I sat on the pillow in the middle facing the idol, a pillow even, there were two mirrors pointing at it like an arrow, one on my left, one on my right, and one behind me. I have no memories of this, but everyone said, there's a lot of people here, that I was reaching for one of the mirrors and it looked like I was grabbing something within the mirror. I mean, we see all these shows and movies that are just supposedly fake magic and blah, blah, blah. You know, like what's the mirror on the wall, whatever it is. I can't even remember what the movie is.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Well, there's that symbolism, that ideology of where magic is just, you know, it's a kid's game. But there are people using this to conjure spirits. I was grabbing something. I thought I was touching the idol in front of me. I was reaching for where the energy was coming from, making that physical connection with the deity. Now, you have to realize that these people are playing with spirits, and there is no justification to play with spirits. There is no justification for it. And they should not be doing it. And we've seen what happens time and time again throughout the Bible when God's people even turn to witchcraft and God's people even turn to the deities and the idols. He punished them heavily. Heavily.
And they will be punished.
Exactly, they will be, unless they repent.
But the fact that it's happening out in the open.
Like this.
In Oklahoma City Civic Center.
This isn't just like in...
It's not in a back room
no,
anymore.
No, I know. This like is for a long time.
Yeah.
For a long time, it's just been in these back rooms. And a lot of people have said, look, this is going on in the back rooms. And nobody would believe them.
And here's the proof.
And here it is.
Videos, there's all kinds of stuff about this.
But hang on. No one said they were going to believe them in the back rooms. Now it's at the Civic Center in Oklahoma. Now it's in the foreground of everything. And still no one's listening. That's where it gets just so shocking. How far are they going to take this before people actually wake up? Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't think we were conjured. This isn't supposed to be real.
I think that it's the problem of, like, if you accept that it's real, it's, for some people, too scary.
Yeah.
That they have to...
they have to find a way to cope, and they can't cope. And the only way you can cope with this is Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can overcome all of this.
Definitely, yeah.
Now, I want you guys to think back to, I think it was August last year, and there was this ritual, this supposedly mock ritual, but I would argue with the term mock because there is no such thing as a mock ritual. This mock ritual was done at CERN.
This was at the same time.
It was?
Yeah.
There was the supposed students, they were on, what was it, lunch break or something like that? I can't even...
Yeah, lunch break.
Lunch break, and it was the middle of the night, so that's why I was saying I don't think it was lunch break, but that's what the official CERN document said, that these individuals, they took it too far, that, you know, they were just playing a joke of killing a woman in cold blood in front of an idol. Oh, it's just a joke, is it?
It's sick.
It's disgusting. Really, it's sick. Demented. The kind of ideology that would justify something like that as a joke. I mean, that is...
Well,
cold-blooded murder. I mean,
it is, but I don't think that she really died. But it definitely was symbolic.
Symbolic of, yeah. And to say that the murder of someone—if you took all the ritual stuff out of it—that's a joke. That's not a joke. That is some sick and twisted humor, and somebody needs some help.
I agree. But the ideology behind it is Hinduism, because the goal of Hinduism is to undermine humanity. In 1979, a director at the World Congress of Hinduism said, "Our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near."
This whole time, we have this attack against the church, and so many people are not waking up to the reality of it. There is one side of Hinduism which is so prevalent and so obvious to fight against, but there's another too, the New Age movement. This New Age subversive tactic that has been laid against the church, and so many people in churches are so baffled and tickle your ear, their ears are tickled, and they can't even hear the truth anymore because they're so caught up in la-la land.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this fake world.
They're doing Christian yoga.
Yep.
Meditation rooms in churches.
Yep. And it's got to stop.
It's blurring the lines.
It is. It is. Because this new world religion is coming about. And we have got to do our best, all of us, to wake up against this, or to wake others up against this. And I mean me, you, and everybody else.
Definitely.
Especially you listening to this.
So let's say a quick prayer just to close this topic up, since it's been very satanic, very demonic. And obviously Jesus is our rock, and we've got to go back to him for peace, for love, and for deliverance. I command the following spirits and their families to leave me now in Jesus' name. Eastern philosophy and theology, ceremonies and rituals, Hinduism, karmic retribution and reincarnation, the Hindu god Vishnu, in Jesus' name, be gone. The Hindu god Shiva, in Jesus' name, we bind you up and cast you back to the fiery pit. In Jesus' name, we bind up any effects of Kali, any effects of the ritual that we just spoke about. We pray for the people that took part in this ritual. We pray for their souls. Lord, please deliver them from the demonic, demented activities that they're participating in. And Lord Jesus, we pray for everyone watching this video, that you would pour out your blessings on them.
Father God, we come to you through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask God that you please watch over us and protect us. I plead the blood of Jesus over Emily and myself, over all of our subscribers and all of our viewers. And I ask Heavenly Father that you please command holy warring angels to protect us and to keep us safe. And in Jesus' name, I bind everything coming across the computer cords and ley lines, and I return them to the fiery pit. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the ability to understand and see what's going on and allowing us to be awake in these end times. And I ask God that you please allow us all to wake more up for your cause and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.